This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day.
A little
sun
hot?
Sun shines out. Well, it's going to be hot, but it's a beautiful day.
Well, that's nice.
I mean, we've had rain at night, but we've had, you know, 90, 95-degree weather.
I know it.
You can tell it's hot in Texas.
It's like storms. You know, I guess that's part of, you know, the whole springtime thing as we go into summer. But boy, oh boy, pretty soon we'll be saying, golly, I wish we had some rain. Remember last summer when it got so dry? And you especially had all those fires and all that over there.
We had all those fires, destroyed all that land.
Yes.
They had to sell their animals. I mean, yes, I remember that quite well.
Yeah, that's
and I'll bet New York City wishes they were somewhere other than where they are.
Wow. I saw those pictures. Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh, it's bad. I mean, when I looked at them, you couldn't even see through the fog deal, the smoke, the buildings in New York City.
Jeez.
And the cars had their lights on. You couldn't even see across the street.
I know. It looks like the apocalypse. A friend of mine that I work with, she lives in Pennsylvania and posted some pictures. It's like, oh, the Canadian wildfire smoke has reached all the way down here. I'm like, I didn't even know there were Canadian wildfires. I don't know why. I just had no idea. And so then all of a sudden, after I saw those pictures, then all of a sudden, everything just started blowing up. It was on, you know, TV and all over, like, social media, and it was everywhere. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then I started to see those New York pictures, and it literally looks like something out of a movie. It's creepy.
It does. It is creepy. And they said they're going to have 2 or 3 days like that.
Really?
Yes. I didn't realize that the Canadian wildfires would go that the wind was going to blow them to New York and Pennsylvania.
Mm-mm, me either.
I was shocked.
Yeah, I thought it would go.
I just didn't realize it would go that far.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not up on, like, wind patterns and jet streams and all that, but I guess I would have thought it would have blown out to the ocean or something.
Yeah, I thought that too. So why didn't it go out to the ocean? But it didn't.
That's weird.
Yeah, it went straight down and then to Pennsylvania.
Well, let's hope we don't end up with that this summer. That's no good.
If it comes this far, there's something wrong.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, if that thing comes this far, look out, world.
Boy, I was thinking, you know, like for if you know, it gets really dry and hot and you have more fires this summer, you know, in East Texas. But boy, you're right, though. If that goes from Canada all the way down here, wow, we've got some big trouble. Of course, I guess it's possible. I didn't know it could go south to, you know, New York and Pennsylvania, but I guess it can. So anything's possible, I suppose.
And they weren't expecting it either, by the way.
That was,
I mean, they were in shock when they can't see, they can't breathe. You know, it's not a good deal.
So everybody is surprised by it, not just us.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, I saw somebody saying
they interviewed some people up there, and they were in shock.
Yeah. One guy said on one of those interviews, he said, geez, we went from recently wearing our mask indoors and not outside, and now we're wearing a mask outside and not indoors to prevent from breathing in all the bad smoky air.
Hmm. Well, and that Dr. Siegel that's up in New York, he said all these people, if they've got asthma, if they've got anything, do not go outside, he told them. Stay indoors.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I mean, unless it's an emergency, he said, do not go out because you're not going to be able to breathe.
Jeez. I couldn't even imagine trying to breathe in something like that. And it looks so thick too. It's not just like a little bit of like when you smell somebody, you know, barbecuing meat, you know, down the street or something. I mean, this is like really thick, gray, black, nasty. And imagine how everything's going to, when it finally clears, imagine how everything's going to be covered in all the, I don't know, the smoke or the ash or the soot or whatever ends up residue left over. I can't even imagine that either, the cleanup from that.
Yeah, the cleanup will be bad also.
Yeah.
So. And they've had to cancel all these flights into New York.
Yeah.
So that's going to hurt them also.
So we're thankful we're not there.
We're thankful we're in Texas. We're thankful we got blue skies and sunshine. And nice people. That's what we're thankful for.
Nice people. That's true.
And nice people.
Yeah. And summer vacation's going on, and the kids are enjoying all the water fun and the slide and the zip lines, and everything's going well, right? So far.
That's right. It's a good day in Texas. It's a good day to be a Texan, frankly.
That is true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we on the general status of investments, life settlements, everything that's on the board? How are we?
Okay, we're trying to fill a policy this week. We should have it filled Monday morning. It was $1.3 million. And that should be finished. It's got some pretty good profit. I think it's 30% or
wow.
27 to be exact. So it's a good policy. Got good premium, got a good escrow on it. We're trying to finish that up. I'm expecting the Campbell policy anytime. There was a form missing. We resent that in. So we should have that money, I'm thinking, this week.
Wow, great.
Yes, and that's the $3 million coming our way.
Nice. Very nice.
What
about annuities? I want to ask you real quick, is that bonus thing still going on, or has that ended?
Yes, it is still going on. They also came out with another a great deal on another policy, where that if you wait 8 years and you say, okay, I don't need any money for 8 years, they will increase your income by 9.25, I believe it is.
Jeez.
So it will give you an increase every year of over 9% additional money every year.
That's fantastic.
I think so too. Did you know that this is Annuity Awareness Month?
Is it really? I didn't even know there was such
a
thing.
Yes, it is. Well, there is. And so this month is Annuity Awareness Month for everybody to realize about annuities, to see about them, see what all they offer, what advantages you can get right now. And there's a lot of advantages. Midland National's doing all kinds of things right now. You know, we had the bonus. Now we have this. So there and the increase in the fixed rate. So they're beating the banks on fixed rate.
So wait a minute. Just to be clear, the bonus and this other thing, these are two different things. Are they both?
Two different things. Two separate policies.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't confusing myself. So in
that's right.
In our world, at least on Saturday mornings anyway, thanks to you, it's always Annuity Awareness Morning.
How about that? It is, because we believe in annuities. We know they're great. We know they pay well. Oh, let me give you an example. My daughter-in-law, they told her she's fixing to have a penalty if she took her RMD early. So we called him yesterday and got a copy of her statement for the year. And she's still got $98,000 in this one annuity, and she's taken $14,000 out this year. And guess what? It made over 9% this year.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Nice.
So it still made 9%. And with her taking 14,000 out, she's still got, 98,000 in there with taking 14,000 out. So, as I say, annuities do work.
Wow.
But what she was about to do is on your RMDs or anything we do, you could not take it out till the anniversary date every year. And she was fixing to take it out a week early, and you can't do that. If you do, then there's a penalty. So I found out what date she had to take it. She has to take it on the 23rd or after. Right. Can't take it the first 10 days.
So it doesn't have to be exactly on the date, just as long as you get to a certain point thereafter, you can take it out.
That's right, yes.
Right.
23rd or after, you can take it any time during the month after that.
Wow.
But if you take it early, there's a penalty.
Well, that is fantastic. She's just like doing gangbusters.
She's doing gangbusters. Made over 9% for the year.
Cool.
And how many things do you know that made 9% this last year?
I know it. And she has to do nothing.
I mean, you know.
Like really, like literally nothing.
Right.
There's no engagement,
that's
no
right.
activities, nothing. Cool.
That's right. You don't have to do a thing. And so I think that, and I looked up what it made and averaged all these annuities for the last 10 years. And I think the lowest one was 4, but there was a lot of years that paid 7, 10, and 11.
Mm.
And this is all documented. I had them send me the brochure that shows, you know, what it paid. So the payout was very good all those years. I didn't see anything bad for the whole 10 years.
That's great.
Yeah. So I thought it was really a good, you know, clear picture of what they've been making. So we know annuities are solid. We know they make money. And I thought this was, a great way to do it.
You know, annuities really are a great investment for people who just don't want to necessarily get into the, and I don't want to say hustle and bustle of a life settlement, but there is a little bit more activity involved. It is a little bit more fluid. There are things that are going on. You don't have to get up either way in the middle of the night and check your portfolio. But for those that just want to kind of like set it and forget it, that would be a good investment for annuities are a good investment for that type of a person, right?
That's right. And you take someone's 55 years old or 60. If they take out an annuity now, when they get ready for it, it's ready. It's already got a lot of interest in there. You're not going to be getting into your principal because you've got a lot of interest on the top. So you're going to take out the interest every year long before you ever get to the principal. And then while you're taking it out, it's still making money. You know, it's not going to stop making money just because you start taking money out.
Yeah.
So hopefully you'll get into the interest and stay in interest, you know, for the next 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, protect the principal. And these are all fixed, not variable.
No, we do not do variables. Variables have mutual funds in them, and they can go down, and they can go up, and you can lose money. These are not that way. These are a fixed index. And a fixed index never goes down. It might have a year it didn't make anything, but it won't go down on you. Your principal will still be there.
Can't say that in the stock market for sure.
You cannot say that in the stock market. It has good days and has some really bad days. And the real estate market is just in a terrible shape. Have you been reading about all this?
I've seen glimpses of it, yeah.
Okay, San Francisco, that was a city by the bay all those years, has just, it's flopped, it's gone. As you know, all the retailers are getting out, Nordstrom's getting out. All these big retailers, the crime is so bad in downtown San Francisco, they're leaving. Well, that wasn't the end of it. The people that own the Hilton and the other big fine hotel have given them back to the lenders this week.
Really? Oh, I didn't see that
part. Yeah, it was a no-recourse loan, which means they're not personally responsible. So they gave it back to them and said, we're walking San Francisco.
Wow.
Now, when two big hotels go back to the lenders, that's big news.
Jeez. I did not see that. If one was
they
to walk
gave
away.
Gave it back, gave them the keys, and walked away, and the loan was huge. $700 million loan.
Holy.
And they walked it.
Moly. Wow.
And then they turned around and gave a big bonus to their stockholders. They said, look, we just avoided this big fiasco in San Francisco. We're going to give you some bonus money. Now, the banks are livid, of course.
Of course.
I mean, there's two big banks. Now then, it's going to look really bad on their statement for the quarter. It's going to show a tremendous loss that the bank just took. So their stock is going to go way down because they're responsible for those loans now.
Holy.
They own them.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that bad?
Boy, that's a messy situation. Golly. So what?
I'd hate to be the president of that bank that loaned them the money.
Oh, yeah. There's another
and
bank.
They said, a lot of these big hotel guys that are putting up hotels, their money has dried up. And I don't know how that could happen, because usually you get the loan in advance before you start the project, of course, and then you make draws on it all the way through. But I'm wondering if they're saying, we're not going to give you any more money.
And then all of a sudden...
Because they said a lot of hotels have now got a problem with their building fund.
Really? So what's...
That's what's said.
What's causing all that? What's at the heart of all this?
The cities they're in, the income is drying up. People are not going to be there. There'll be no conventions. They're not going to be all these tourists there. They can see the handwriting on the wall. And a lot of these hotels have not even been put up yet. So if there are any of these cities that are in trouble, the lenders may pull back and have a way to stop the loans.
Mm. I didn't think of that because I see, you know, because I hear those things and then I see, well, geez, you know, people are, you know, traveling. What, Memorial Day, I think they said was record, like pre-pandemic, you know, volumes and, you know, all the revenue and the travel that people are out, they're moving around, they're doing the things that they did before. And so then you hear about something like this and it's like, oh, wow, it's almost like a contradiction. But I get the source and the reason why. So, wow. Boy, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and I was shocked. I had never heard of anybody giving back a Hilton or another famous hotel. It has 1,700 rooms.
Jeez.
It is a huge, huge hotel. And the other one had over 1,000 rooms also. So they don't want any part of it. They don't believe that they're going to be able to rent those rooms. They think that they won't be able to make any money, so they walked them. And apparently they had a clause in there that said it's a no-recourse loan. So if it's no recourse, they can walk it, and they did.
Wow. And there's nothing – I mean, that's just it. That's where it ends.
I believe so.
Wow. Holy moly. Do you think that trends like that will continue in other areas or other cities?
In areas like San Francisco and New York, yes. I think everybody else is okay. But as you know, real estate is taking a plunge.
Yeah.
And it's mostly commercial right now.
You think that'll translate over into... like homes and things like that, or like residential?
Well,
or?
There was a big builder this week that sold all of his lots and took a $200 million loss.
Really?
Yes. He had so many lots, I guess, all over the country, and he sold all those lots to get out and took $200 million loss just to get it sold.
Is there any particular, like, pocket, any region, or is it, like, literally, like, everywhere throughout the country, like, scattered?
Well, he had them in a lot of places. He had houses going in a lot of big cities.
Jeez.
And apparently he was afraid those big cities were going to crater, and he said, now's the time to get out and get my money, and I'm not building. That's basically what he's saying. I'm not building in those big cities.
Hmm. I was asking because I was looking for like pockets, like regional things to see if there was something that maybe just a particular area, but it doesn't sound like it. Wow. A
$200
million
two large
loss.
Insurance companies have pulled out of California.
Did they really?
Yeah, they pulled out. They'll no longer do home loans. So you've lost two big life insurance companies. They're not going to do home loans in California anymore.
What's okay? So
you can't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at kind of like the big picture. You see some financial institutions, for lack of a better term, hunkering down and kind of like, what's all the conservatism, the pulling back on situations? Is first of all, am I looking at it the wrong way? Or if not, then if there is really a kind of an across the board pullback, does somebody see something happening, or is it current conditions and they're just reacting, or is there doom on the horizon, do you think?
I think they believe that commercial is going to have a serious problem. There's going to be a serious problem about finishing their projects. Like in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, everybody's getting out of Portland, Oregon. 700,000 people have left California.
Jeez.
Because of all the things they've got going there. You know, not only do they tax you to death, but, you know, they're going to get rid of gasoline cars, they say. Mm. You know, they made a new law. In a few years, you cannot have a car that runs by gas. The people are so far out, they're going to end up with no people, I'm afraid, and no
yeah.
way to make a living. How can you make a living with all the things that they're doing?
And the economy can't support itself. I mean, if that many people are leaving, I would think that it would make things a little bit unstable generally across the board, wouldn't it?
I would think it would be unstable because the people that I've heard that moved from there said, you know, they were taxing them to death. And then the restrictions, you know, they had a restriction on everything you do in life.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
you couldn't do anything. And now our blessed government, oh, you can't have gas stoves, gas furnaces. You know, America better wake up.
Hmm.
We're going to be without anything.
I think I've heard that people have left California and a lot of people have gone to either Nevada or Texas. Is that?
A lot. Well, this last year we had 400,000 people that came to Texas.
Wow.
400,000 people. This week, I saw a Massachusetts license plate. That's scary, folks. That is scary. And when we see the ones from New Jersey, I'm going to the cellar. Oh, my gosh. Because those people never get anything done. They just never do. They just mess around and mess around.
I don't think there's a Saturday morning that New Jersey doesn't come up in some way, shape, or form.
I know. Bless their heart. It just—I just can't tell you how I feel about them.
I know that's the buzzword. If I ever want to get you all fired up about something, I'll just bring up New Jersey.
Just bring up New Jersey. It'll set me on fire. Oh my
goodness!
And one of the best places to get your certified death certificate is Kentucky. Kentucky people are just nice people. They'll get it in the mail immediately. I know this summer when everybody couldn't get this a death certificate, I said, let me handle that. And so I called. They were nice. They said, well, just give us your credit card. I did. And 3 days later, I had a certified death certificate.
Really?
It takes a month for in New Jersey, or 2 months. I mean, it takes a long time.
Wow. Of all the places.
They only come in the first day after a red moon.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, they're not even there. They're not even there.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
that should be their state slogan.
That's right. They just don't show up otherwise.
Wow.
And they get paid. It's like this guy here in Texas worked for a hospital, and they've discovered he hasn't been showing up for work for 15 years. They've paid him $500,000. He's never been to work in 15 years. How can anybody not notice an employee is not there?
I want that guy's job.
We all do. I mean, he's never been in. They don't even know what he looks like.
Oh, wow. Does he have to pay them back, or is it just...
I imagine they'll try to get it back, but no telling what all he spent it on. You know, I just can't believe it.
Wow.
Worked at a hospital, never showed up, and nobody noticed it.
So he was like an actual employee that just didn't go to work, not just like a...
Didn't go to work, 15 years. And I don't know where he was having the checks sent. Maybe it was direct deposit. Probably direct deposit. So the money went in, he checked it, it's there, go on with his life.
Wow. I mean, I can see
it never went to work.
You know, payroll sometimes will, you know, transpose some numbers or put the wrong account number or something in there, and then you got to back it out and make some changes. You usually catch it within the first, payday. But to go 15 years, wow. That's unheard
of. And none of the employees noticed he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So this time they forgot about him, what he looked like, who he was. He was forgotten. Only the payroll department knew who he was. And this went on for 15 years.
Now, how did somebody catch it? How did they even know?
I have no idea. It was a large hospital, and it just went over their heads. I mean, it's the darndest story I'd ever heard.
Wow.
That a person never showed up for work.
Now, I know people that didn't show up for work, but something was done about that. They didn't get paid.
That's
for
exactly right. You know, when it happens more than once, you're saying, come in my office, let's talk, you know, while you're not coming to work. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And that was here in Texas.
Here in Texas. And they just discovered it this year. Wow. That's why I knew about it. It made the news when they finally discovered him, you know?
Wow.
I don't know how they discovered it, but they finally discovered that he hadn't been there in 15 years.
That's the kind of thing I would expect out of, like, New Jersey or something like
that's
that.
That's right. Not if it happened New Jersey, there's probably a lot of them haven't even been seen in years.
Yeah. Wow. Probably sleeping with the fishes.
That's right. I mean, just, he's down at the shore. Yeah. You know, down at the shore.
The shore. Wow. So you're actually serious about Kentucky. They're actually, like, very nice. That's not sarcasm.
They're very, very nice.
Okay.
So if they live in Kentucky, we'll have that death certificate in no time.
All right. Otherwise, most people are pretty much generally on top of it, though, right? They go through the process, and it's a normal, like, you get it within a reasonable amount of time.
Yes, you get it within a reasonable amount of time. If you don't, you call, you say, what is the problem? What do I need to do? You know, I hope someday they'll make it where you don't have to have it certified. Because if you didn't have to certify it, you can get it online.
Oh.
You can just order it and get it online if it didn't have to be a certified copy.
Oh.
So, yeah, it would be so simple. But we have to say, okay, we want a certified one. Well, then they say, okay, that costs this much, and, you know, we'll have to send it by FedEx since it's certified. So we always say, okay, let us pay for it now, and you just send it on over. Then if it's in New Jersey and we've given up, we call the people, the man's wife, his niece, whoever, and say, we cannot get the certified death certificate. Would you send us one? We'll give you $250 for it.
And they usually
do. And then
do.
They'll send it.
Yeah, that all of a sudden they're
nice. For $250, they'll do it, even though they should be saying, as soon as they die, let me get you this.
Wow.
Now, in Texas, when this happened back in the summer, and I called the lady, she said, I've been trying to find out who to call. When my husband died, I wanted to get you the certified death certificate, but I didn't know who to give it to. She said, you've been trying to reach me.
Really?
And I said, well, just send it right here to Dallas, Texas. And she did, and then she followed up to see that I got it.
Really?
That's Texans for you.
That's nice.
I love Texas style.
Yeah.
You know, they're concerned. They'll follow up. They'll do what's right. The people in Texas are just good people. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you're not going to find people like this anywhere else. That's for sure.
No, you won't. That's what I'm worried about, all these influx of people. They're going to try to change the way we do business, the way we act, and our attitude.
Yeah, and the way we drive. That's also
another thing. Yes. That's right. I've seen them on the freeway. You don't even want to get near them. They're just zigzagging and going 100.
It's like crazy town.
They don't know we don't do that. Yeah, it becomes crazy town.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think it's going to be like seriously, like with all this shifting of people, like when you have that much movement, like 700,000 leaving California, 400,000 coming into Texas. I'm sure there's other states that are dealing with, you know, population massive increases or decreases. Does that shift the balance of the economy in any way? Does it make things unstable, or is it just like a slight change that doesn't really do much?
Well, I don't know yet, because we've never had 400,000 in 1 year, but all of them found jobs. Obviously.
Cool.
Now, a lot of people went to Austin. You know, the most liberal place in the Texas is Austin, Texas. But that's where all your high-tech companies are. That's where most of them have went, is to the Austin area. Now then, the movie stars that have moved here and all the film people, they've went to the Hill Country.
Really?
They're building big homes out there in the Hill Country, away from everybody. Elon Musk is building a town for his workers. You know, he's moved everything to Austin. He's building a big town for them to live in with rentals and everything.
Really? A whole town?
A whole town. The neighbors aren't happy about that.
Of course.
They're a little hot about that, folks.
Yeah. They'll be complaining pretty soon. The new neighbors are weird.
Yeah, the new neighbors are a little weird. But anyway, he's moving all of his tech people, you know, to Texas to run all of his conglomerates. Hmm. And as I said, he's building a whole town for them. They had trouble finding housing, I think. He said, I'll just build a town out here. We'll do rentals. We'll do all this for you.
Wow.
And as I said, the neighbors are hot. They're kicking up too much dust. They're doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And these old people who lived on those ranches all these years are not used to seeing a stream of cars.
Yeah. You kind of had
probably
some...
That bothers them.
Yeah. When you go from privacy...
I haven't seen anything but a jackrabbit.
I know. Now all of a sudden you got fancy cars. You're probably going to have some building equipment and all kinds of, you know, God knows what coming through. So.
Mm. Yeah, there's equipment, heavy equipment going down the old roads.
Yeah.
So... It's disturbing them.
Yeah, that is. Well, after, you know, decades in most cases of, you know, just nice, peaceful, quiet existence, now all of a sudden, here comes technology. And so, yeah, that's disturbing. Sure. I can see that. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, I thought we would talk about D-Day. D-Day was this last Tuesday. And the older generation will remember D-Day. They'll know how important it is to our history. The young people probably don't even know about it. I don't think history is hardly being taught in school nowadays. Mm. But D-Day happened on June 6, 1944. It was the invasion of the beaches of Normandy. The Germans had control of the beaches, everything in Normandy, and we fooled them. The Allied troops set up a fake deal, and they said, okay, in order to make Normandy a success, we've got to fool the Germans. So what they did, they pretended like we were doing operations all over the world, Britain and France, rather than Normandy. We wanted the Germans to think that the invasion was a long way from where it was. They had fake troops, fake equipment, a phantom army, and it was commanded by George Patton. And supposedly it was in England, and they had fraudulent radio transmissions to fool these Germans. So it was supposed to have been on June 5th, and the weather was so bad we couldn't fly. So on June 6th, the planes took off, the boats came in, It was called Operation Overload. And the first 4,400 troops were killed as they came up the beach.
Wow.
2,200 of those were Americans. Altogether, after the first tranche was in, 156,000 troops went onto the beaches of Normandy by the end of the day. And at the time, it was the largest naval, air, and land operation in our history.
Wow.
And before it was over with, in the next coming days, we landed 326,000 troops, more than 50,000 vehicles, and 100,000 tons of equipment. And in the spring of 1945, at that time, we defeated the Germans. And it was the beginning and the end of the war by doing D-Day. And so many people have forgotten about it, but they had occupied that since 1940. And, of course, we came in the war in 1941. So we were stymied. We had to get France freed up. And in order to do it, we had to go into the beaches of Normandy. And so it was a huge, huge invasion. And they named it D-Day. We've only got like 100 of the world's greatest soldiers, the greatest manpower left. There's only 100 people of the original World War II veterans left.
Really?
Almost gone. And our country will not know about all these things, like how we won the war, if it isn't taught to the next generations. They will never know what the sacrifices were. And we talk about the sacrifices of men. We had so many women that were involved in the war, and they made tremendous sacrifices. A lot of them did not come back, but everybody forgets about that.
Wow.
But the invasion of the beaches at Normandy is what turned the war around. And that's how we won the war, by invading the beaches of Normandy that day and storming the beaches. Despite they knew what the risks were, they knew that a lot of them weren't going to make it. And there was 4,000 Allied troops killed that morning, and they were from all different countries. And there is now a D-Day museum in Pennsylvania to celebrate D-Day. At least we forget it.
Really? I didn't know there was a museum.
There is a museum. Because, you see, the first people up the beach that morning were from Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
So they lost a lot of people that morning in the invasion.
Jeez. I mean, I remember learning about D-Day, and I remember, you know, seeing, you know, the videos, it's all the grainy black and whites of, you know, the boats coming on shore. I remember seeing the photographs of troops coming on shore. Either they didn't teach it, or I just forgot how secretive of a mission it was across the board. I didn't realize all the, you know, the fake troops and the fake transmissions and all the other things that were going on. I guess I'd forgotten about all that.
Huh.
Well, and it took a tremendous amount of secrecy to pull this off. And Dwight Eisenhower was the commander of this operation going into Normandy. And the Allies, you know, carried out this massive deception and made the Germans think that it was going to be in France rather than Normandy, and it was going to be in Britain. And so the Germans were a long, long way away and couldn't come and help their guys because of everything we did. And these tactics and the deception was tremendous. I mean, the fake equipment, the Phantom Army, commanded by George Patton, all this, it helped us do a secretive invasion that day where we didn't have any more troops killed than the 4,400. And then the rest of them stormed the beach, took the beach, and turned the war around.
Golly, I mean, that is such a massive operation. Just all the like you said, the planning that went into it, the secrecy that went into it, the resources that were dedicated to doing it, and to pull something that big off, it's not like you can have just a few people in a room to coordinate. I mean, you've got to get together all the troops, even the fake ones, and then the real ones, and then it's just mind blowing about all it almost seems like in today's world you couldn't have something that big and not have something leak out. That's huge.
That's right, and we did, and it was kept secret, and nobody ever leaked it. And as they went into battle, Eisenhower said, "The eyes of the world are upon you."
Wow, and that's true.
Yeah, and it was true. Everywhere in the world, they did not know about it, and then they heard about it as it was happening. The radios broadcast it later in the day that we had, done this invasion, that it was successful, that we had taken it from the Germans. And as I said, it changed the war in one day.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the end of World War II.
Jeez.
It's really important in our history that we never forget about D-Day.
It is. Oh, wow. And I think we've already kind of maybe started forgetting, because you just don't hear much about it. You hear things about Memorial Day, July 4th, all these other important days in history. But boy, it seems like this year especially may have been under emphasized.
Because our country has come so far, they forget about the sacrifices that all these people made and how we got here. If we hadn't done this, we might have lost World War II.
Yeah.
And this was so important. And our generals back then were superb. You think about Patton, you think about Eisenhower.
Man,
that led this fight.
Could you imagine how different our lives would be today had that not gone the way that it did?
That's exactly right. We might not be here today.
Yeah.
We certainly might not be free. And as everybody always says, freedom is not free. Somebody has to make the ultimate sacrifice to get us where we are. And you can never forget that communism, has been defeated once. And communism seems like it's come back again.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to be vigilant and remember what it takes to be free.
Mm. It almost seems like some maybe people now who are kind of removed from, because you think about it, he's like, when we were growing up, we would hear stories from our parents and our grandparents about, the war, and they would talk about, D-Day, and they would talk about, all these different, like World War II, or even, even as recently as Vietnam in the 60s. And so, we would hear these stories as that generation, passes away. We don't hear those firsthand stories anymore. So maybe we're a little bit more removed and don't quite understand the value of freedom. Even if, we can't all get along politically, still to value freedom and come together and understand that, we're in a really special, unique situation right now. It really does, a lot of it get owed to, a lot of the troops that got us here. And D-Day is one of those big days and big occasions. Like you said, 4,000 troops were killed, and half of them were U.S. troops. I mean, that's most of them knew that it was that they weren't going to come home going into it. So it's very
important. That's right. And the guy that built all these boats, this is another great story that I only heard this week. The guy that built these boats was from Nebraska, and his father died when he was young. His mother moved to another place, and he had this thing about boats. And he later moved to New Orleans, started a boat company. When World War II came around, they didn't have the right kind of boats to get them up those shores and to back it back out to the waters, back out to the boats. And he built these for our troops, thousands and thousands of them. And he was having trouble figuring out how to get them in. The front of the boat didn't go down, and he developed that also, where the boat lid would come down and go on the ground and get the troops out. and then it would come back up and back up and go back out to the ships. He's the one that invented that for World War II. There is a statue of him in Lincoln, Nebraska, also one in New Orleans. He's so famous.
Really?
And he's the only civilian that's been decorated for World War II for what he did.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa. It's tremendous what this man did. They came to him during World War II, and they knew he was a boat builder, and told him how serious the situation is and what they needed. And he started to work on it immediately, and he built thousands and thousands of them. And without his boats, we could have not done the invasion of Normandy.
Wow. I mean, when you think about it, you know, you see the pictures and the videos, that's one of the big things that stands out is the uniqueness of those boats. And you don't always think, well, geez, how was that developed? How was it designed? How was it built? But boy, to design it and build it, it sounds like it was a very fast process. It needed to be. Golly.
It was. And he became famous for what he did for our country. As I said, there's two statues of him. One in Nebraska, where he was born, because they think the world of him. Well, the rest of us do, too, because of what he did. So there's another statue in New Orleans. But his story is one, I mean, Eisenhower, all these people praised him to high heaven for what he did for our country. So that's another great American that really did something during the war.
Wow. Boy, oh yeah. Boy. Jeez. You know, and I didn't realize that there was an actual museum in Pennsylvania. I had no idea.
Yes, and the boys from Pennsylvania were the first ones ashore, and they were the ones that lost their lives. And it was from one company there in Pennsylvania.
Wow. That's amazing. And June 6th, 1944, was actually supposed to be June 5th. But they had to delay it.
That's right. And the weather was so bad, the planes couldn't fly. They couldn't see where they were going. And they had to delay it to June 6, 1944.
I don't know exactly how it all works, but I know that there's a lot of planning and coordination just to create something like this, like a plan like this, and then to execute it. And then I would imagine to probably have a last-minute change like that takes a secondary amount of extreme coordination to pull that off without, you know, somebody. So, oops, I didn't get the message, or oh no, they did something too soon or whatever. So, wow, even to pivot and change at the last minute like that's still impressive. The whole thing is mind-blowing.
And a lot of people don't know how to keep a secret.
Yes, a lot of
people would have never been able to keep this secret, you know, and thousands knew about it. And all these people that participated, got all this bad information to the Germans and fooled the Germans so great. I mean, that took a lot of work to fool them, to make them really believe that this operation was far, far away. And that's where the Germans went. They went to the wrong place.
Wow. That's just fascinating to me. I just...
It is to me, too.
Wow. I mean, the planning and then you wonder, okay, I'm say you know you're in one of the decoys and you're like, okay, I'm a decoy, but still having to play it off like you're actually like the actual legitimate plan. It fascinating to me. It seems like that would be very difficult to pull off today for some reason.
Today it probably couldn't happen.
Yeah,
but anyway, it's at least we never forget.
Wow. June 6th. That was this past Tuesday. Yeah, I don't remember hearing a whole lot about D-Day this week.
It's because people are forgetting. Yeah. They're just going on with their lives. They're forgetting what made this freedom. What ended World War II? What did we do to get out of that mess? Mm. Well, this is what we did. We stormed the shores of Normandy on June 6th, 1944. At least we ever forget. And it should be taught in school. It should be taught around the globe.
Yeah, maybe we need a...
Because soldiers from everywhere participated.
Yeah, and what'd you say, there's only 100 left?
There's only 100 World War II veterans left to thank for their participation.
Mm. Wow. Boy, that'll just kind of...
The greatest generation is going away.
Yeah, it really is. That's a reality check.
It's been 79 years.
Jeez. 79 years. Golly.
79 years.
Well, that'll put it back in perspective in a big hurry.
Mm. That's right. Mm.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'd love to see those old museums. I didn't know there was one in Pennsylvania. I'm probably going to have to make a road trip.
That's right, because it's worth seeing everything about D-Day, everything that you bring back memories of things we don't even know about.
Yeah, things we've either didn't know or forgot or, you know, it's very important to keep all that, you know, front and center. Okay, so real quick, I know it's, what is it, annuity month, annuity awareness month?
It is annuity month, annuity awareness month, and we're aware of annuities every day, but a lot of people aren't. They don't realize how good annuities are. You know, if annuities weren't good, there wouldn't be thousands and thousands of companies offering annuities. You know, they wouldn't do it if it didn't help the customer. So it's a win-win for everybody, for the insurance company, for the customer. Annuities, you can't outlive them. They're going to give you lifetime income. So I really think people should take out some annuities, no matter what else they've got. I've had a lot of people this last month, when we had this bonus deal going, took out annuities. As I said, I just saw what annuities made this year. My daughter-in-law just got her statement. As I said, we had to look at it. It was over 9% for the year. And I think that's a good amount for an annuity.
Yeah.
So, and it's a sure thing. It's not like the stock market where everything that's happening right now, some days it's up, some days it's down. But I've still got people telling me they've lost a lot of money. So even when it's up, apparently they've lost a lot of money. And I don't know what they're invested in. I didn't ask them, but they just said they've lost a lot.
Well, you know, annuities are also one of those investments that you can almost kind of like sit on the back burner and let it simmer in the background no matter what else you're doing. You don't have to do much with it. You just wait. So, you know, if you got money, you know, sitting in an account someplace and it's not making any money, then you're losing money. You might as well turn it around, putting it in an annuity, and let it make some money. It just makes perfect sense.
If you're just sitting there and you're not doing anything, you're backing up.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody should invest their money, in my opinion. If you want a certain amount in cash, that's fine. You should always have emergency money. But invest some of it in annuities to have that solid income all the time. And a lot of people are doing it for their grandchildren, their children, where they know when they pass away, they're protected. They know they'll get through college. They'll know that they have income. I've had a lot of people do that over the years. I had the one lady took one out for every grandchild she had. And it put them through college.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of things you can do about it. Then if you don't want to do annuities, do some life settlements. Life settlements are still making money. You know, it's like this. If they weren't making money, we wouldn't be doing it, would we?
That's true. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Annuities are good. Life settlements are good. A lot of people, new people are coming into life settlements because they want out of the stock market, or they want out of their CDs or whatever they've got them invested. I've got several people that are retiring, selling their businesses, and they're coming to us wanting to do something. So there's a million ways to do this. I love the life settlement industry. It makes money. We turn it over and over. I've got about 100 people that every time we do one, they're in it. They're making money. Then I've got some that sometimes don't do anything. They just sit there. And I know some of them have got policies that went over, the old ones that we used to have. We've still got some old ones. We've still got the lantern out for them. But, you know, the company we're using now, Lapidus, they use scientists. They are right 96% of the time.
That's
according
great.
To the state of Florida. I read that the state of Florida said. Laplace is right 96% of the time, and that's good. That gives us hope that all of our policies will come in on time.
Wow. 96 is a big deal. You're not going to get that kind of metrics from the stock market, that's for sure.
No, you're not.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that isn't going to happen. We don't have to worry about the value going down because it's a life insurance policy. A life insurance policy is the safest thing that I know of that you can invest in.
Those who have never...
I don't know if anything is safer.
No, well, that's true. Your principal is protected, and you can't say that with really anything else from what I can think
that's
of.
That's right.
So for anybody who is thinking about a life settlement, since we're talking about it, they're probably wondering, okay, well, this all sounds really fantastic. You know, my principal is protected. I'm not in the stock market. The value can't go down. But what are the risks? There's got to be something. What's the other
shoe? Biggest risk of all is if you have an old policy and you're paying premiums. That's your risk right there. Mm. The newer policies don't have that risk. The newer policies, the premiums are a lot less. They're manageable. We're being very careful now about how high we let the premiums go. We're not buying anything with high premiums. We're telling people no. Our last premiums were like 0.25%. Some of them are 0.5%. Some of them are 1%. I think I've even got some new ones, maybe 2%. But we're not doing anything over 2%, and most of it is less than 1%. So sometimes that's $15, $79. But that is your biggest risk, is if you bought a policy and it has high premiums, that's a risk. If you're buying a policy now, it doesn't have that risk because the premiums are all very, very low. So we don't have the same risk you would have had 3 years ago or 4 years ago because we're much more careful. So even though it's a risk, it's not a high risk now. It's a very low risk. The other risk is it's not liquid until it matures. Once it matures, it's liquid. Otherwise, it's not liquid.
And those risks are not really that big of a deal for investors because in order to do a life settlement, you've got to be accredited. So what does that mean?
If you're accredited, that means you make $200,000 a year or you're worth $1 million without your home. And you don't have to have both, just either one.
For an annuity, what are the risks for that route?
I don't know what it could be. I mean, your premium is guaranteed. You're not directly in the stock market, so you don't have that risk. There's not any premiums due, like in other investments. There's not any fees every month. You know, when you're in the stock market, there's a fee every month for being there. You know, they charge 1-2% or whatever. You have to pay the brokers. We're not paying a broker every month. So that's why there's not any risk in an annuity. And then it depends what life insurance company you've got it with as to how well they're going to do. If you're in a small company, they're not going to pay as well. But if you're in a large company like what we use, a company's worth $60 billion. Mm. We've got some worth even more than that. And they've been in business 100 years. We can rely on them. We figure if you've been in business 100 years, you're safe.
You're probably doing something right.
You're doing something right after 100. Now, if you've been in business 10 days, we would not recommend you.
Nice. All right. So either way, whether you go the route of life settlements or annuities, both are fairly conservative. Both are very good options. People are making money hand over fist, and people are not saying that in other things like real estate, stock market, and stuff like that. So I assume this coming week you've got availability to talk to people if they're interested in getting more information. Yes?
Yes, we'll talk to them. We'll tell them the risk. We'll tell them how it works. And a lot of people, when they call, they have been listening to you for 2-3 years. I know how it works. So a lot of them have walked through every time I've walked them through. You know how we buy the policy. We put out offers on it. We tell them what the risk is. We tell them what the premium is. We tell them what the profit is. And then they say yes or no.
It's just really a matter of getting started. That's all it comes down to.
That's right.
All righty. So one last time, Faye, for people to call, get some more information, come get started, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.